Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you're pregnant, a prescription to stay in bed for an extended period of time may seem like a luxury. However, bed rest during pregnancy can be challenging. So why are women put on bed rest, and does it really help? I'm Jackie Heiner, an RN with Sharp Girls One Hospital, and this is Preggy Pals, episode 16.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself!
I'm pregnant! And I have to exercise?
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit!
I've got kinkles!
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way. Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Sunny Galt. Preggy Pals is now available on the go. You can purchase our apps in the Amazon and Apple stores. If you have any comments about our show or questions for our team of experts, you can call the Preggy Pals hotline, and that number is 619-866-4775, or send us an email through our website. And I have received some emails about birth stories. We are sharing birth stories through our website, and we're going to be chatting with our panelists as well as our listeners about their birth stories via video Skype. So we already have a couple interviews posted. Be sure to check those out. And you can do so on our website. Just click on birth stories. If you would like your birth story to be featured, go to preggypals.com/submit-your-story and send us some initial information. Okay, let's introduce some of the panelists here in the studio.
Hi, I'm Jackie Kleber. I am 25 and my due date is November 29th with a little surrogate baby girl. I do have a 3-year-old son at home and I am a birth doula.
My name is Misty Davies. I am 33. I'm a gemologist. I'm due October 10. I'm having a little girl. I don't have any other children, and I'm hoping for an unmedicated hospital birth.
My name is Christina Hewlett, and I'm 35. I have a little girl at home. I was put on bed rest and for 10 days in the hospital with her, and she's doing great. And she's my only child, and I had her via C-section.
Okay, I'm excited to hear your story. Again.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Harrison. I'm 32 years old. I'm a skincare professional with Mary Kay. My due date is the 11th of September with a baby girl. This is my third. I have two little boys, and I am going to have a water birth at a birth center.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And so you're in the skincare profession, so you can make us all look pretty while we're pregnant, right?
Of course.
All right, thanks for joining us, ladies.
The NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus vets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so we are going to move into our news headlines, and these are headlines, pregnancy headlines, that are making news around the internet. And if you guys want to check out some of the stories we think are a little more interesting, you can check out our Preggy Pals Pinterest board. So for today, we are talking about Tori Spelling. She has made so much money off being pregnant and having babies and who she has babies with and who she's with and all that kind of stuff. She released this photo on her website, which is torispelling.com, if you guys want to check out the photo. And she's pregnant again. I believe this is her fourth baby. And as you know, she's known for having a pretty good body. She's a pretty skinny thing. And she is in a bikini in this photo and very proud of it. I don't know how many months she is now, but let's just say she has quite the belly, and she's pretty much all belly. I mean, that's all she really is. Anyway, she's getting a lot of flack from people, and if you are to check out her website, there, as you know, people can be really rude about this kind of stuff. So I wanted to ask you guys, is this picture that I have here, is that appropriate? Should we be monitoring more closely what we're wearing? I mean, a lot of people in this article said, listen, she already has three kids. I think one is a seven-year-old. They're like, mommy needs to put on some clothes here. So what are your guys' opinions? Jackie, let's start with you.
How is it any different from a Victoria's Secret model?
Just that she's pregnant.
I mean, really?
Just that she's pregnant. I mean, you never see Victoria's Secret models obviously being pregnant, but that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Heidi Klum did her thing, but she didn't do it for Victoria's Secret while pregnant.
But who cares?
Really? I know. Well,
like, I'm jealous. I wish I could look like her.
Exactly. I wish I had gotten that big to look that good, to get into a bikini and flaunt it. That was what I was hoping for.
I know.
And I totally got robbed. So I think I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a little string bikini. She does have, you know, a little something, I don't know, mesh thing over it, little cover up. But, you know, she is sporting the bump, you know. Misty, what would you do?
I mean, I would do the same thing if I could. I mean, she looks good. I don't see anything wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. And Rebecca, you've had three kids. So how did you sport your bump?
Well, with the first, I didn't have a summertime
to
really sport too much of it. The second, I tried to cover up with a one piece, which it didn't work so well. So now I don't care. It's all about my two piece string bikini. And it's just more comfortable that way. You're huge. You're in the summertime. You're hot. Why are you going to cover up so much that now you're going to be like feeling claustrophobic in your clothes?
Right.
I mean,
exactly. Yep.
Plus, you need a tan during the summer. So.
You do. It's nice. I think tan bellies are really, you know, tan pregnant bellies are really pretty. But, you know, I guess we kind of got to watch out for the sun and some regard. But at the same time, I know we're vitamin D deficient. Did you guys hear that episode? We just did an episode on Preggy Pals about being vitamin D deficient. So we do need to get more sun. You know, for me, when I was pregnant with my first, I have two boys, I was rocking a swimsuit. I don't know if I should have been rocking it, but it was a two-piece. And it was one of those ones where it had like an overlay in the middle, but you could kind of remove it. So I thought it was or see-through, you know, like mesh overlay type thing. But so if I really, you know, wanted to sport it, you know, I could kind of tuck it away or do whatever. But it kind of opened kind of like a movie curtain type thing. Like, here's the show. But for some reason that made me feel more comfortable than just having the bump out there. But I really liked it. But then I have to say with my second, I don't know if I was a little more, I can't say it's because I already had a kid, but I was a little bit more reserved in my swimsuit. I had one more like a tankini type thing. So you could still see the bump, but it was a little more lower, the bump part that you could see. But I love it. I love seeing mommy bumps. And I don't know if it's just because, you know, I'm a woman and I've been through it. But I support Tori. I think everyone else needs to pipe down. Well, thanks for sharing your opinions, ladies.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
All right, today we're talking about bed rest. And joining us here in the studio is Jackie Heiner. She is an RN with Sharp Grossmont Hospital. So, Jackie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I should clarify, we have two Jackies in the studio. I don't know how you guys want to do this. Panelist Jackie and expert Jackie. Some of our women here have been on bed rest. Christina was on bed rest with her first and only baby.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get some of those perspectives as we go through this conversation. Let's talk about bed rest in general. So, Jackie, how many pregnant women are placed on bed rest in the United States? Is this something that, you know, the numbers are growing, or are we pretty much staying the same? What do the numbers look like?
Well, there's probably about 1 million women throughout the United States that are put on bed rest annually at some point during their pregnancy. So it is probably one of the most commonly prescribed therapies to help with preterm labor or any complications of pregnancy. Okay. So we are seeing a little bit more women being placed on bed rest, especially with those that are having multiples, with, you know, twins, triplets, because they have a higher incidence of going into preterm labor. Mm-hmm. And so we do see more of those mommies being placed on bed rest.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, for the women here in the studio who went on bed rest, why did your doctor want you to go on bed rest?
I had preeclampsia.
Okay.
So, yeah, the high blood pressure was way too high, and they forced me, basically.
Yeah. At how many weeks?
I was 26 weeks, 6 days.
Okay. So how long were you on put on bed rest for?
I only made it 10 days. She was born at 28 weeks, 2 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. So she was a tiny little thing
she
when she came
2
out.
Pounds, 8 ounces.
Oh, my.
Yeah. When I went into the hospital, they said they did an ultrasound, and they said, oh, she's 2 pounds. That's, you know, pretty good. And I was like, really? And then when she was born at 2 pounds, 5 ounces, or 8 ounces, I was like, where'd she get that 8 ounces?
Yeah. Those things are always off. They always go back and forth with how much they weigh. Okay. And did you feel overall that it helped being put on bed rest?
Maybe physically it did. Mentally, it was really tough.
Tell me about that.
It was a really fast transition from, you know, being free out in the world to being not able to really leave a hospital room.
Okay.
And really not being able to leave my bed. The first 2 days, I was bedridden. I mean, I couldn't get up.
Right.
The medication they gave me was to basically loosen all of my, you know, I guess my veins or, you know, whatever, because my blood pressure was very high. It was like 168 over 110,
wow.
Which is really high.
That's really high.
Yeah. They told me, they were like, you need to go to the hospital right now.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. I drove myself.
Oh, you crazy thing. Oh, my goodness.
I didn't realize. I didn't really know. And then it was immediately like, I was sitting in, you know, the room, and they said, okay, take off all your clothes, and here's, you know, a robe. And I was like, is somebody going to tell me what we're doing? Because I'm a little confused.
Really?
What's going on?
Yeah.
And a nurse finally stopped and said, okay, this is what's happening. Your blood pressure is just way too high. And then they immediately put in magnesium sulfate, and then I got sick, and they had to give me other medication. And I also had diabetes.
Gestational
diabetes. So then they had to control my sugar, too. So I was getting all kinds of other medications that I had never gotten before.
Wow.
Either. And so I just felt really like I was at their mercy. I had no control.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I walked in. And now I can't even get out of bed.
Right.
It was very sad. I was very sad.
Yeah.
And I actually wrote 2 days of blogging, or, you know, blogs. And my husband said, I don't think you should really let anybody else read that. It's very
negative.
It's kind of a downer. And I was like, that's how I feel. So, you know, for the 10 days, I really just... The medication they gave me was just made me really loopy and out of it. So people thought, oh, you have plenty of time to, like, email and text and social media. And, you know, like, you could read books and watch movies. But the medication I was on just didn't really allow for it. It makes you really loose and loopy. And so I, like, had no real, you know, ability to do any of that stuff.
Right.
So I felt really lonely.
Right.
And TV was boring. And your eyes don't focus on the magnesium sulfate either, so it was really hard to see. I just really wanted somebody in the room with me.
So you were pretty much by yourself most of the time. Well, obviously people were caring for you, but
right.
As far as you didn't have any family that were right there all the time or anything.
Well, my mom was there. My grandma was the best because she just came in and watched TV with me. She didn't ask questions. She didn't do anything. It was just somebody there holding your hand.
Yeah.
You know, and it was nice. I was like, oh, you're the best.
Aww.
You know, and other people who came to visit, friends, lots of friends came to visit, but they all were asking all the same questions that everybody else asked, and you were inundated. In the end, I just said, any questions you have, direct them to my husband.
Right.
Because I don't want to have to answer that 5,000 times over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just, I was dying for news of the outside world. Like, the news was boring. I wanted, like, real life, like, oh my gosh, there was a total huge accident on the 805 South. And it, you know, made everything horrible. Or, oh, on my way home from work yesterday, there was a guy on the right side of the road. Like, that was the weird stuff I wanted,
right.
You know?
Right.
And it kind of made it worse. It was May, and it was beautiful, and it was raining, aww, and I was stuck in a room, and I got to see the outside world, but I didn't get to open a window.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It was sad for me.
Jackie, what's your experience been? Obviously, you know, you help women who have been mm-hmm. on bed rest or are on bed rest.
Right.
How do they, first of all, react to the news? Is it shocking for most people?
It's hard. I think what you said is exactly what other women would say, is the whole loss of control. Like, all of a sudden, you're an independent person. You're working. You're out in the world doing, you know, living your own life. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you come into the hospital and you really don't have any control over what's going on. What makes me sad is that they didn't explain to you at the very beginning what was going to happen, because that's something that we want to try and do to kind of prepare you a little bit for what's going to happen. But
what is that, by the way? What do you usually say to them?
Well, with the magnesium, we let them know that the reason we're starting it is because not really to prevent high blood pressure, to control the high blood pressure. It's really to prevent seizures. With preeclampsia, that's one of the things that can it can happen. It'll progress into eclampsia, and you may start having seizures, which is obviously very life-threatening for mommy or baby. And so that medication makes you feel yucky, just like you said.
So bad.
Very yucky. It makes you feel weak, hot flashes, headaches, dizziness, mm-hmm. and the fact that you couldn't get out of bed is because of that medication. You know, you're pretty weak. We really don't want you getting up and falling, because that would be even worse. but that is a definite precaution that we have to take when you have that kind of medication going. So I think it's really important that us, even as nurses and with the physicians also, that we explain to you ahead of time, because, like I said, you're coming into the hospital and all of a sudden your whole world is kind of turned upside down, you know?
Yeah.
And that is hard. And especially if you have other children at home that you have to care for, you need to make plans. You need to, yeah. you know, talk to your husband or your support person or your family and say, you know what, I'm really going to need some help. Or if, you know, for our people that are in the military and they don't have family here. My husband was in the Air Force and we were stationed in Wyoming, and I had my daughter and I didn't have anybody with me, and I got sick. And so there were some issues with that too, because luckily I had my friend there, but there's some people that just don't have anybody around. And yeah. so to try and get that help to come in is extremely important.
For Christina, she had preeclampsia, but there are other reasons that women are put on bed rest. So let's talk about some of those.
Probably the most common ones are preterm labor,
okay.
Preterm uterine contractions, or if their water bag breaks early. Those are the two biggest reasons that they're put on bed rest. For patients that have their water break early, the reason we put them on bed rest is because one of the dangers of that is that the cord, the baby's umbilical cord, will slip through the cervix, and that right there is a medical emergency for the baby, because not enough blood and oxygen are getting to the baby. And so we want to kind of prevent that from happening. And then with preterm contractions, you know, the studies really don't show that there's a benefit either way of putting mommies on bed rest for that, but that is probably the most common therapy that's prescribed for those patients. But really the thought is to decrease the activity, decrease the strain, and hopefully that will decrease the contractions. But like I said, there's nothing that's really in the literature and the research that says that absolutely bed rest is the number one therapy that we should be prescribing, because it does help decrease the rate of preterm births. Okay. So at this point, there's nothing to say that it does help, or there's nothing to say that it doesn't help
right.
either. So it's right. kind of like, you know, catch 22. We've always done it this way, so we're going to continue until we have more information.
What determines if someone is put on bed rest at home versus bed rest in a hospital?
It really depends on the baby's status, because we do monitor the baby pretty closely. So if the baby's looking good, then that's reassuring. It's also depending on how often contractions are occurring, like if it's preterm birth or preterm labor. Obviously, if we're having more than 6 contractions in an hour, that's a very kind of a signal to say that maybe you should stay here for a little longer. We need to maybe give you some medications to try and stop those contractions. If a woman's water bag breaks, of course, we have to keep her in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Incompetent cervix is also another reason that women are placed on bed rest, and it's really due to I don't really like the word incompetent.
It sounds like you
can't. Yeah,
you got a failing
grade
or something.
You know, but that's That's what it's called. Oftentimes, women are given a place with a cerclage, and it's like a little stitch in the cervix to kind of keep it closed. So if any of those issues are getting worse, I guess, then the decision may be to keep her in the hospital. We have some tests. It's called fetal fibronectin. I don't know if you guys have had that before. It's a little swab that we do with a Q-tip inside the cervix, and it's a pretty good predictor of labor, if labor will occur, if labor will not occur within the next 2 weeks. If it's negative, then we kind of have a better idea that you probably won't be going into labor in the next couple weeks. But if it's positive, it doesn't really help us other than we know that it's positive and you may or may not go into labor in the next couple weeks. So that may also be a determining factor. We also do ultrasounds to determine cervical length. Because if we're seeing that the cervix is getting shorter and shorter, then that means that the cervix is starting to efface, and so then you have more of a risk of having preterm labor or a preterm birth. So all of those issues we need to take into account. It's a possibility that, you know, mom may not be able to stay on bed rest at home just because of, you know, we have other kids, we have other, you know, responsibilities, we have a life outside the hospital kind of a thing. And so we all those things need to be taken into consideration, you know, to determine whether she's an okay candidate to stay at home on bed rest, or does she really need to be in the hospital.
Right. And speaking of which, I know, Rebecca, you're not on bed rest this time. Obviously, you're here in the studio. right. But you have experienced this in the past. Did you have any children prior to being on bed rest?
No.
No. So you didn't have to worry about that. Tell us a little bit about your bed rest experience.
Well, I think mine was kind of a unique experience because my nephew had actually passed away. And I was in I was in the hospital that day while he was in ICU. And so it was a really stressful time. And I think that and a combination of not drinking water and not having enough nutrition that day, it was just an extremely stressful time, well, for my whole entire family. But sorry.
Oh, it's okay, sweetie.
But it was just really hard and that day I started having a lot of contractions and we were at Children's. And so I knew Mary Birch was like right next door and they're like, oh, you need to go next door and get checked out. I'm like, no, I'm not. and I called my midwife and I was like, my doctor, cause I had a doctor at that time. And I was like, this is what's going on. They're like, you need to go to the hospital. I said, oh no, I'm not. I'm in a hospital. If anything happens, I'm there. Don't worry about it. You know, I'll be fine. And it just kept getting stronger and stronger. And it was my first, so I was like, what the heck's going on? I think at about midnight-ish, my husband's like, I have to take you in. So we ended up going in to the doctor's office and actually to the
triage.
Like, I don't know what it's called. We're to the hospital where you birth children. See, pregnancy brain?
Yeah.
It just doesn't work so well here. And they kind of got on my case and, well, I had a total breakdown and yelled at them. And they're like, okay, calm down. I'm like, just check me out. Let me know what's going on. And so I was in preterm labor and I was about five weeks early. And so they were still kind of concerned about that. They're like, well, it shouldn't be too big of a deal, but you never know. So they gave me a shot of something that made me like, I don't know what it was, but it made me so jittery. I sat there shaking in my bed. I think that sounds about right. And then they did it again before I left. Oh. And I was like, oh my gosh. It was worse than coffee. And I don't even drink coffee. So I'm sitting there. I'm just shaking uncontrollably. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? You're not keeping me, right? Because I don't want to stay here. And it ended up that the stress test and everything else was fine. My water was fine. My cervix was fine. Everything ended up it was just due to the stress, I think. And so they're like, okay, you have to be on bed rest for the rest of your pregnancy. And I said,
okay, sure.
That's a really good point, and I do want to finish your story. But if you're put on bed rest, are you put it on, you know, for the rest of your pregnancy? You can't come off of it?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. It could be just for a short period of time, you know, depending on how often you're contracting or if those contractions resolve in a reasonable amount of time.
I see.
And there are different levels of bed rest. There's light, moderate, and strict. Strict bed rest is those ones that you just need to stay in bed. Can't really do a whole lot of chores, no lifting, anything like that. You can get up to go to the bathroom, but other than that, you're pretty much in bed. Moderate bed rest, you may be able to get up a couple times during the day, you know, take a shower, kind of do what you need to do, and then get back into bed. It's probably about, you know, 8-hour time frames that you're looking at. And then light or light bed rest could be like maybe 1 hour of just complete rest, maybe 3 times a day. And of course, no lifting greater than 10 pounds. So there are different types of bed rest, but it just really depends on the situation and what your doctor or your midwife prescribes for that.
So Rebecca, what kind of bed rest were you put on?
At first it was strict bed rest. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. I could take a nap all day long. Yeah. Because I was tired anyway, and I was huge. And so at that point I was like, okay, whatever, that's fine. However, after a day or two of that, I'm like, I'm bored. Yeah. This sucks. And we didn't have a TV, so, and no internet. So I'm like, awesome. And my friends and family were busy because, you know, people have to work or whatever. Yes. They can't just come over and entertain me. So there's only so many books you can read after.
You needed Christina's grandma.
Yeah. You needed a grandma.
Yeah, I don't have one of those right now. I'll adopt one. So at first it was strict, and then they had me come, I think about a week later, and they're like, well, we still want you to be on bed rest because you're still really stressed, but it can be moderate. You can get up and do stuff. So I kind of took a little bit of liberty with that, probably a little too much. And then I went back again. They're like, okay, you're good, but we still want you to be on rest as much as possible. And I didn't have a job at the time, so it was fine with me. But cleaning carpets, I don't know if that was the best thing to do. But I figured it was so late in my pregnancy that it was like, all right, if he comes, he comes, and I think he'll be fine. Yeah. So, and he ended up being a pretty big baby. He was almost 9 pounds, 22
oh, wow.
inches.
He was fine.
Yeah, he was good, and he was technically 10 days early.
Yeah.
You know, from the date that they had given me, so... I'm like, okay, well, if he's 10 days early, imagine 10 more days.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And you're so tiny. Where did you keep that baby?
on my back. Backing up in my ribs. Yeah, they stayed. Yeah.
So, Christina, what are some of the things that you did on bed rest as far as activity is concerned? Were you really limited, or did you push the boundaries a little bit?
I did not push the boundaries. coloring books were nice. I had my aunt brought me coloring books. It was very childlike, and it was just fun. It was something that was easy to do, especially with the medication I was on. I did try to text, but it was, like I said, on the magnesium, it's very hard.
Yeah. Well, and you were in the hospital, too, so it's not like you could get up and do household chores,
no.
Like what we're talking about.
Yeah. I couldn't even walk the ward, though. Like, they wouldn't even let me do that. That was really sad. And I was like, can I get a pedicure? Can I do something? And they were like, no. They looked at me like I was really crazy. But, you know, it was like, I was like, well, okay. Can I get a massage? And they were like, no. So I didn't do a whole lot. You know, I mean, I slept a lot. I listened to the baby's heartbeat a lot.
Yeah.
Because they had me on monitors all the time. So, you know, I could always hear her heartbeat. So that was kind of nice. But, I actually did share a room with someone else, and I actually...
Oh, that's a little awkward, too.
Well, yeah. There was a bathroom between us, but...
Yeah.
I paid attention to what her family did.
She had a more interesting family than you, is that what you're saying?
She did. I mean, in certain ways, you know, they could come in the middle of the day. I was thinking, what do they do? You know, and so I kind of got a little bit of, you know, interest there.
Yeah, right.
Daytime TV was boring, so it's okay that you didn't have it, really. Honestly,
you weren't missing anything.
Yeah, you weren't missing anything. Because, you know, there's only so many episodes of Food Network. You can watch the same thing. You're like, you just showed this a week ago. This is ridiculous. I did have my husband brought my my computer, my laptop.
Yeah.
And he brought a bunch of DVDs. He rented a bunch of DVDs from like the Redbox.
Okay.
And I was able to watch those off and on. So, you know, between naps and stuff. So I got a lot in a lot of movies.
Yeah. Right.
So that was nice because that was really like non-interactive, you know. Like I said, I just wanted people around me who kind of just sat there and held your hand. And, you know, the best times were when my husband got off of work and came over and he was like, okay, I'm bringing you food, and ate with me. Instead of, I mean, there are people who brought like, oh, I brought you cookies, or oh, I brought you, you know, lunch or whatever. But then they just sit there and watch you eat. Yeah. And you're like,
awkward.
Hi. I'm feeling my face. Or when my husband would crawl into bed with me.
Yeah.
That was the best.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty much all I did.
Right. What do you recommend, Jackie, that women do when they're on bed rest?
Well, when, in your situation, you were in the hospital. And, yeah. And in the hospital, it's a little bit... I guess trickier just because you're away from all of your stuff. You know, we've had patients come in and they bring all kinds of stuff for them to do. Some of them do scrapbooking. Some people bring their laptops in. We have, you know, internet and stuff. So they do blogging. There are a lot of support groups, even online support groups for bed rest, if you're on bed rest. So that kind of helps out. But I think the biggest thing is missing their friends and family coming in. So if you can have them, you know, at some point, you know, maybe on shifts, come over and just kind of say hi and stay with you for a little bit. You know, people, they read a lot of books, TV, like I said, scrapbooking is probably a big one. Journaling, I really liked your idea of journaling and writing down your experiences because that kind of helps you reflect on what happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just kind of a nice, a good way to remember, you know, exactly kind of what you went through. So a lot of people do that. They have a lot of, they have journals. I've seen quite a few people color. And when you said that, I just thought, oh, yeah, that's not uncommon, actually, because it's easy. It's entertaining. It's something creative that they come up with. So that's really not uncommon. So,
oh, good. Yeah. I'm not strange.
You're not strange. But, like, you know, in the hospital is a different situation. At home, you have probably a little bit more liberty to do a little bit more organization. You know, I've read all kinds of things that help, you know, with bed rest. And, you know, now with our cell phones, one of the tips we're saying, you know, to organize your address book. Well, we don't really have address books anymore because we all our contacts are in our cell phone. The nursery, you know, trying to get the nursery together as long as you're not on complete strict bed rest. So, you know, there's quite a few activities. A lot of it has to do with what you can and can't do, while, you know, you're on bed rest. If you can get up and move around, then maybe you have a little bit more freedom to do that at home. But in the hospital, it is a little bit harder. I have worked with nurses that do give pedicures, and so it is kind of fun.
Oh, so depends on the nurse. You just have the right nurse, Christina.
I'm not promoting that we give pedicures, but yeah, I mean, especially for, I mean, patients that have been in the hospital for a long time, I mean, we develop strong bonds. We've done baby showers for the patients that have been in there for a long time. But, yeah, it just really, you know, depends on your situation, of course. And, you know, with having preeclampsia, that's a hard one. That's a real hard one. And I've taken care of quite a few moms that have preeclampsia. And, you know, it's not fun for them. But, you know, we want to make sure you have the best outcomes for you and your baby. So it's just really depending on the situation, you know, that you're in. If you're at home, of course, you have a little bit more liberty than when you're in the hospital.
Sure. Okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the possible complications of being on bed rest and how we can make the experience a little bit more enjoyable. We'll be right back.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. We are talking about bed rest, and we are discussing the topic with Jackie Heiner. She's an RN from Sharp Grossmont Hospital. So, Jackie, I know that there are potential complications from being on bed rest. So let's explore some of these, and then I want to get, you know, basically poll some of our panelists here and see how they felt after having been on bed rest and had their babies. Some of the common things that I've read about being tired or even being constipated. What are some of the things that you hear?
Constipation definitely is a big one. Even women that are not on bed rest can experience constipation, but even more so when you're on bed rest because you're not up and moving around. Okay. So we want to make sure that we're having a diet high in fiber, lots of fruits and vegetables, water. Oftentimes we do prescribe colates or a type of stool softener to help with that, just because, you know, you're not really getting the activity that you normally would. Weakness and being tired definitely is probably another big complication. The weakness is because you're not up and moving around so much, so your muscles actually start to become smaller, or they atrophy little by little. The longer you're on bed rest, the more muscle weakness that we see. To try and combat that, we have some exercises that can be done to help strengthen the muscles, because you do start to lose muscle tissue over time. Doing exercises that can contract the muscles of the legs or the arms, doing exercises of like circling the arms or the feet, squeezing stress balls. Those are another thing that can be done to try and help with that. And then, because, you know, you're lying in bed all day, the tendency is to take long extended naps, and that does affect your sleep cycles. Mm-hmm. You want to take, you know, of course, take a nap during the day, you know, 20 minutes, an hour, but not hours and hours at a time, because then in turn you are awake during the day. During the night. So that can cause insomnia. So just a couple naps during the day, maybe 20, 30 minutes, of course, no more than an hour, and then try and stay kind of on a regular routine. If you're on bed rest, which I know that can be like routine. What are you talking about? You're on bed. That is my routine. But, you know, starting on the morning, eating breakfast, next thing, moving on to maybe answering emails or, you know, reading or that kind of a thing. But try and stay a little bit on a somewhat of a schedule to try and keep yourself at a fairly normal pace, because that does affect your circadian rhythm if you're sleeping a lot during the day, and then you're going to be awake at night. Back pain, of course, is back pain and muscle pains, because you're laying on your sides or you know, for a while, so that does put pressure on certain joints. So try and moving from side to side a little bit. You probably don't want to lay completely flat on your back, because the babies really don't like that. It compresses, you know, the big artery that you have behind the uterus, and so not a lot of blood and oxygen get to the baby, and so we do see changes in the baby's heart rate with that. So, you know, laying on your side, either right or left, doesn't really matter. Or if you're sitting up, a little bit of a tilt, you know, to just kind of move that uterus over a little bit. So all of those things can help. So those are the big ones, is being tired, the muscle aches and pains, and then constipation.
Okay. Yeah. I have to ask you guys now. Christina, you're looking at me like, yeah.
I was like, check. I know. Check. Check. Yeah. Pretty much all of those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, you know, the lying on your side always was really just, it killed me. It hurt my hips really bad. And they even had to change my bedding out. You know, they gave me like a new mattress and everything.
Yeah, we often try and do an air mattress.
Yeah, which I thought actually didn't help.
It didn't help at all, really?
No, it was hard.
Oh.
I didn't like it.
Okay.
No.
But I'll keep a mental note on that.
I know. I thought it should be flipped over so that all the little holes were up on my hips so that I had like a little bit of airspace. Anyway. Okay. I know. But yeah, you know, it was all of those things. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Check, 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 check.
What about you, Rebecca?
I think it was more back pain, muscle soreness, tired. I just tired all the time. Yeah. Even when I tried to stay awake, I'd still fall asleep. And I was just bored out of my mind. And so when I'm bored, I either eat or sleep.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, do you continue to gain way too much weight or do you sleep all the time?
And which one did you choose?
kind of bowl.
eat, sleep. And I had a water bed at the time. So it wasn't too bad. However, sometimes it just was not enough support. So it was just boring and tiresome. And I just ached.
Yeah. Do you find that a lot of women on bed rest do gain more weight in their pregnancy?
Not so much, because if they are on bed rest for an extended amount of time, then they start to lose muscle tissue.
So they're losing muscle.
So
it's not good.
So it just really depends on the type of food that you're choosing. If you ate all fruits and vegetables, then it's not a big deal. But if you're eating Twinkies and bonbons and ice cream, then that's probably not
the best thing.
Which
is what we all want.
Of course. All our cravings. Yes, now I get that. But actually, that's one of the big concerns is, I'm just in bed. I need to eat, but I don't want to gain too much weight. But if you're in bed rest for an extended amount of time, you're going to end up losing muscle tissue. So that does affect your weight gain. So that's something to keep in mind.
But looking back, I think that there were definitely things I would have done differently, but I didn't know. That's the thing. I just didn't know. So, I would have packed a bag and had all my undergarments and all of my stuff in it, because honestly, my husband went home. He, one, didn't know where anything was. And two, he grabbed all the wrong stuff. And it was just like, do you ever see me wearing these underwear?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And he was like, why are they in the drawer then? stuff like that. I would have prepared way earlier in advance. Even though I was only 26 weeks, I should have been on top of it. Yeah. Stuff like that. I was preparing. I had an appointment set up to have some hair removal. And so I was a little shaggy. And I got put on bed rest on a Thursday, and my appointment was the next Tuesday. So, and then another 10 days passes. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
Prepare.
Right. As much as you can.
Preparation, I would have done a whole heck of a lot different.
Yeah. Rebecca, what would you have done differently?
I guess there's really not much I could have done differently. I just got antsy. I'm the type of person that I always have to move and do things. So I just think maybe more visitors. I probably could have called more people and said, hey, I need visitors, instead of, no, don't worry about me. And it wasn't like I was trying to be a martyr. I just didn't want my friends and family to be so concerned, because for me, it really wasn't that big of a deal. But it was, Yeah. I'm a social person, and I was stuck at home with my cats. and I love my cats. However, they slept. And they ate. So that didn't help me.
So really, you're just mimicking your cats. Right?
I know, right? I think just inviting more people and asking for help. I think for me, that was probably the biggest thing I still need to do.
Yeah.
So
I would have asked for help for my husband, actually, because he was a stress ball. And he was trying to get stuff together at the last minute for the nursery and stuff. And I was like, you know what? She's going to be in the hospital. She's a preemie. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're going to have time to do that.
We'll have time later. And he was just crazed. So I should have said, can you go over and help my husband, whether he wants to help or not?
Yeah.
That would have been the smart thing to do, but I didn't remember that. I didn't know that.
Good. Well, good information, you guys, today. Thank you so much. I love listening to your guys' stories, and hopefully we help some women out there that maybe put on bed rest in the future. So we're going to continue our discussion about this online. We, of course, want to hear what your experience has been like, especially if you're on bed rest. You're probably on Facebook, right? It's a great opportunity to join in on our conversation. So you can share those details on our Facebook page, or you can even comment on Twitter using the hashtag #NewMommyMedia. Thanks for joining us, guys.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Okay, before we wrap up today's show, we do have an email that one of our listeners sent us. This comes from Allison Davis. And Allison says, I'm really enjoying Preggy Pal so far. The episodes have been very interesting and informative. One thing that I do miss, though, is the ups and downs episodes and birth stories. I think it helped you to get to know the panelists, which was nice. And she says, this is my second pregnancy, but with my first, I really appreciated the birth stories. We'll love to hear these become part of the Preggy Pals format. So, Allison, thank you so much for your comment. Of course, we do welcome these types of comments from all of our listeners because this is your show, and we want to do things that would, of course, interest and benefit all of our listeners. So, with ups and downs, we're not going to dedicate whole episodes to ups and downs. We will probably be releasing a smaller segment. As you guys know, we have segments at the beginning and the end of each show that are about, you know, between 3 to 5 minutes. So, we'll probably launch some sort of segment in the future where our panelists can briefly mention something that's happening in their pregnancy that they want to share. We're also going to launch a series where we follow three pregnant women from the very beginning of their pregnancies through the birth of their babies. And of course, in those whole episodes, they'll be sharing their ups and downs. So that's one way to get ups and downs into our format. Regarding birth stories, so we're doing something a little bit differently with our birth stories. We're not going to do whole episodes featuring, you know, our panelists sharing their birth stories after their babies are born. Instead, we are going to be sharing birth stories via video Skype on our website. Now, the reason we're doing it this way as opposed to incorporating it into an episode is because I really wanted to reach out and be able to incorporate the birth stories of people all over the country or all over the world for that matter. With birth stories before, it's pretty much confined to the panelists that were in the studio. And there's so many great stories out there, and I wanted to get the listeners involved. So if that is something that might interest you, we don't do it live. We record it in advance, and then I make some small edits and I put it up on the website. If that interests you, please let us know. There's actually an online application form you can fill out, which is at preggypals.com/submit-your-story. And if you just want to watch some of the great birth stories that we already have up there, it's really fun because you get to see the panelist or the person that's sharing their story. You get to see their spouse or their partner, and you get to see the babies too, which is always fun. So if you want to check out those stories, just go to our website, preggypals.com. And under the blog section, there is a link for birth stories. So, Allison, I hope that answers your question. We certainly do want to try to incorporate this type of content into our shows. We're just doing things a little bit differently. But thank you so much for your email, and we really do appreciate your support. So that wraps up our show for today. If you have any questions about today's topic or any pregnancy-related question, you can ask our experts. Simply send us an email or call our Preggy Pals hotline at 619-866-4775, and we'll answer your question on an upcoming episode. And if you have a pregnancy topic you'd like to suggest, we would love to hear it. You can visit our website, which is preggypals.com, and send us an email. All right, coming up next week, we are talking about pregnancy medications, what is in your cabinet, what you can take, and what you can't. Thanks for listening to Preggy Pals, Your Pregnancy Your Way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.